Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope. We are glad that you're here, all of us in the room. Those of you joining us online, it's a good day to be together. And we like to begin our services with this greeting Christians have been using, I think, forever. The Lord be with you. Thanks. We believe that's true, that whenever we gather together, the Lord is with us, that He meets us here, that He engages us in like a spiritual conversation. You know, we get to be honest with Him, and He gets to be honest with us. And hopefully we can be listening for what it is He wants to say to us, what He wants to do in our hearts and lives today. I'd love for us to pray as we get started toward that end. God, thank You. Thank You for gathering us together from all the different places we've been, all the different things we have going on in life. You've got us to this time, to this place, so we can center our attention on You. So we can bring to You all those things that weigh on our hearts and minds. Those things that have been heavy on our hearts. Those things that have been buzzing through our minds and maybe still are right this minute, God. Today, right now, I pray that God, You would help us to bring all of that to You. To bring all of ourselves to You, so that we can sing not just to each other, but sing to You, so that we can cry out to You in prayer, so that we can listen for You speaking through Your scriptures, and so we can gather together and meet You at Your table. Thank You, God, for this opportunity to worship You today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're able, interested, let's stand and let's sing.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. Let's draw
this might be, well, it's a newer song to the church as a whole. It was came out in 2018, so you might have heard it on the radio. But song that that line in there, God is madly in love with you. Thank you, Jesus. There are a lot of different kind of types of love. That line in particular, I really had a problem with just in my own mind, because when we hear that, we think of romantic love, and there's so many different types of love, and God does, you know, love us madly, you know, exorbitantly, like, you know, fill up this room, and it's still not enough. Like, He loves us so much. Sometimes our minds are just limited on our own experiences, and that's what I've learned from that song anyway. I'm pretty sure we did this song like in September and then never came back to it, so I think we're gonna do it again.
ready for you. Every heart longing for our King. We sing like a bride. Like a bride waiting for her groom. We'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King. We sing. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so come, Lord Jesus, come.
Amen. I invite you, if you would, to pray with me. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're told that we're to rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, that's what we want to do. We desire to, but there's so much going on in our lives, in our homes, our communities, our world, our country, Lord, that seems so heavy and feels so hard. Yet, Lord, we want to rejoice and be glad in you. This morning, Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to be able to rejoice in your goodness, to rejoice in your faithfulness, to rejoice in your mercy to us, in your blessings to us, in the midst of the hard things, in the midst of the ugly things, in the midst of the dark things. Lord, we know that praise is our weapon against the enemy. And so, Lord, this morning we praise you. We give you honor and glory and blessing as we lift our voices, as we lift our worship to you, Father. As we gather here in your presence together, offering these sacrifices of praise and worship, as we worship and praise you in our homes, on our own, in our cars, wherever we find ourselves, Lord. May it shift our perspective. And may we see the things that are happening around us, Lord, things that are happening in our lives, not as things to look at in despair and despondency, Lord, but as opportunities to show the world who you are, to testify to a lost and dying and broken world, the power that is contained in the name of Jesus, the power for victory over the darkness, victory over the despair, victory over all of the stuff, Lord, that is happening around us. Help us, Lord, to rejoice and be glad this morning. We thank you, Father, for each person here. For each journey that each one is on in knowing you and becoming more like you, Lord. I thank you that each and every one is family. Because we belong to you. We might never have met otherwise, except that we have gathered here today to worship you, to glorify you. And so, Lord, I pray that you alone would be honored and glorified. I pray that you would be with Pastor Rich. Touch not just his words, Lord, but his body. This morning, fill him with your spirit again. And may we receive from you what it is you've given to him. We pray all this, Lord, knowing that you are faithful, knowing that you are working in all of the things that we see around us. We know that you are doing all that you want, all that you desire to bring about our good. And so, Father, may we be obedient today to whatever it is you have to say to us as we give you honor and blessing and glory as we pray these things in your name. Amen and amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
All right. While folks are finding their seats, just hello again to those of you joining us online. We're glad you're with us. Drop us a comment or something. Let us know you're here, since we couldn't shake your hand just now. And if there's something you want to communicate privately, you can go to livinghope.info/connect. Fill out a little digital connect card. All of us in the room can do the same thing, obviously. And if there's some way we can be praying for you, thanking God with you, you just have a question that you don't want to shout out right now, you can write it on there. Or you can write it on one of those little green cards back there and drop it in the box, and I can answer it this week if you give me a way to contact you. That'd be good. And if you're giving, you can drop that in the box as well, or you can give online. All that stuff works. So this week is not particularly busy around the church, but next week will be. On the back, you can see that Ash Wednesday is not this Wednesday, but the next one. And so it begins that season of Lent, which leads us up to Easter. And so some of you are like, I didn't know we did that. Well, sure, why not? So if you have questions about it, I'd be happy to answer. But that night we'll have just a simple little Ash Wednesday service at 6:30 that night right here in place of our usual Wednesday night Bible study. I think the teens are going to join us too. And so if you'd like to do that, we'll have that with along with the imposition of ashes, you know, where they make a little ashes on your a little cross on your forehead with ashes. It reminds us of our humanity, of our frailty, of our need to repent. That's kind of what the season of Lent is all about. And we'll be talking more about that as we get into it. But then the night after that, Thursday night, is the Joyful Noise Worship Night. That once a month where a group of people from different churches get together and worship here. And I get to speak this time at that one. So I'll be here if you want to join us. We'll be here that Thursday the 19th. And then it's not on the back of this, but then that Saturday, the 21st at 12:30, is the next one of those little Feed the People free meals. There's a group that's doing this. They decided they want to do it once a month. And so once a month, there'll be a free lunch here together with music and someone sharing their testimony. And so if you know somebody that could use a free meal on Saturday the 21st at 12:30, we'll have more info next week. We'll have some flyers out there about it. And then that Sunday, the 22nd, between the services is our really brief annual meeting where we do all our church business in about 15 minutes. So for the year, and we take care of it. So if you want to be a part of that, you can show up in between the services on Sunday the 22nd. So that's all, not this week, but the next one. So this week, you're just going to be recovering from the Super Bowl and watching the Olympics and all of that, I'm sure. But, you know, anyway, before we dive into this morning's message, I would love it if we could just pause, catch our breath, pray for just a second. Thank you, God. Thank you for getting us here to this time where we get to read the scriptures. We get to read the testimony, the instructions from these early Christians. Thank you, God, that for generations now, as your kids have gathered around your word, and when we read it and when we listen to it read, it actually becomes your word for us. We hear you speaking to us. And God, that's my prayer for us today, that we would hear your spirit speaking through your word, so that we can say yes to you and experience the life that you have for each one of us. Thank you, God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, and I should say, too, before we get in there, if any of you are wondering why Pastor Judy said, don't just touch his words, but touch his body. I heard her say that, and I thought, well, that kind of sounded weird if you don't know that I've been feeling a little under the weather. So that's what she was, I'm guessing, was what was in her mind and heart when she said that. I think I scared her a little bit yesterday. I woke up feeling a little cruddier than I thought I would, and I was like, hey, just so you know, tomorrow if you could do the communion stuff, I don't really want to be breathing on it with everybody. I got a little bit of a cough and whatnot, and she's like, okay. and in the past, there have been times where I've felt bad enough that it's like she's been like scrambling to put a message together, and she did actually. She like started to work on a message just in case. I called her this morning and said, I can't do it. But thank God, I'm feeling all right. So, yeah. Just don't like kiss me or breathe on me, breathe my air or anything, you know. All right, so we're in this series of messages about who we are as we move into this new year and as we move into, just life. Who are we? And we're looking at the Bible and what it says. And a couple of weeks ago, when we looked at the fact that the Bible calls us believers, those of us who put our trust in Jesus, we're called over and over again believers, people who trust him, who believe in him, who have confidence in Jesus, that he can do what he's promised to do. And we're the people who believe him when he teaches us. And we say, okay, Jesus, if that's what you say, if that's how you say how to live, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to live like you do. I'm going to do what you say. And I mentioned that if we really believe this stuff, that the Bible teaches us, then it really changes things. And I had some little brief riff on this idea that the Bible calls us the body of Christ. I thought, okay, I need to do more than just a little 3-minute, riff on that. That's one of the things that the Bible says about us over and over again. We are the body of Christ. It's who we are now. Now that we're trusting in Jesus. In fact, 1 Corinthians 12 just says it like this. This is the Apostle Paul. It says, now you are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it. So he's saying you, like to all of us, y'all, if we're in the South, we'd say y'all are the body of Christ. And each one of you is a part of it, right? So it's not like I'm the body of Christ. I'm a part of the body of Christ, right? And a lot of these that we're looking at today, we're looking at 1 Corinthians and Ephesians and Romans. Most of this, almost all of what we're looking at today is the Apostle Paul. He's one of those that he really latched on to this metaphor, this image of the body of Christ to help the Christians he was talking to figure out how they're supposed to live together. Because he was talking to people who were from all over the place, right? there were Jews and Gentiles who usually didn't mix. There were people from different parts of the Roman Empire. There were people from different social strata who really, they didn't mix. They would never have been caught dead eating together at a meal. The servant and the one they're serving, normally they ate separately, but now in the church they would all come together and sit at one table and learn together and serve together and do life together. And he's trying to help them understand, look, you belong to each other. You're the body of Christ. Each of you is a part of it. If he was talking to us today, he'd be like, there are Seahawks fans, there are Patriots fans, all in one body. There are people who don't care at all about football and super fans who follow every sport, together in one body. There are Republicans, there are Democrats, there are people who don't vote, people who are like, politics is their life, together in one body, the body of Christ, and each one of us is a part of it. Leading up to that, here's what he says in the verses before it. He says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. So it makes sense that we're different from each other, because there's many different parts to the body. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. It's kind of like you're saying, look, whether you're happy about which part you are or not, you're part of the body. There's nothing you can do about that. You're a part of the body of Christ, like it or not. But then he says, you shouldn't feel that way. He's saying, don't feel bad because you're not like somebody else. So if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? What'd you say? What am I talking about? I'm talking about how we are all different, but we're all together as part of one. He calls it the body of Christ, that we're one body. So just like my body's got fingers and toes and arms and legs and eyes and ears, like each of us is like a different part of that body. And so we're all different. We've got different things that we're good at, different things that we do, right? But we're all still part of one body. See, there were some folks, especially in Corinth, if you read the chapters leading up to this, and chapter 12 leading up to this, where they felt like some folks were saying, all Christians should be, have this same spiritual gift. All Christians should be able to speak in tongues, or all Christians should be able to prophesy, or all Christians should be able to do this kind of supernatural thing. And the Apostle Paul's saying, hang on a minute, we're all different. We're all given different gifts. Not everybody gets the same gift. God distributes those gifts. In fact, if you read 1 Corinthians 12 right before this, he kind of lists out lots and lots of different gifts and ways that the Holy Spirit shows up in a person's life so they can bless others. He says we're all needed. He says if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Does that make sense, Cindy, a little bit? Okay, all right. So lots of different parts. So some of us, as we look at ourselves and we look around at others, we think, oh, man, they got the good gifts or the important role or something like that. Because I'm not like that, I'm not really an important part of this group. I don't necessarily belong here. They don't need me here. And he's saying, oh, that's not true at all. Everyone is needed. Everyone has a role to play. Everyone has a gift to give, a ministry, a way to serve, a way to bless others. And just because we're different doesn't mean we're not needed. We're all needed. So if you feel, to the people who are feeling down about their particular role or their particular gift or the way they viewed themselves, I can imagine in their society, people who were slaves, you know, and the people who were poor and looked at the people who were free and were rich and thought, well, man, they really just need those people. You know, the church really just needs the people who can give the big checks or, you know, who can do all the big stuff. And me, I'm just, you know, washing feet or I'm just sweeping floors or I'm just, you know, whatever. And he said, no, 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 everybody is needed. Don't feel less about yourself. He said, we're all important. We're all part of the body of Christ. But then there are other folks that are on kind of the other end of that. He says in the next verse, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. That'd be pretty awful, wouldn't it? If parts of your body started saying, yeah, I don't need you. You're not that important. And if that part of the body just said, fine, I'm out of here. You know, like if the head thought I'm the important one, you know, I'm the one that looks around, I'm carrying the brain, I'm the mouth, and the, you know, all the food comes into me and all this stuff. You know, you feet, you're just sitting down there, you stink. You know, you're sitting in shoes all day and sweating and, you know, we don't even nearly need you. If all of a sudden your feet were gone, it would be difficult, to say the least, right? The head all of a sudden would find out just how essential those feet are. So he's saying, one part of the body can't say to another, I don't need you. On the contrary, he says, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. So he's saying, some people need a little extra care and other people don't. And that's okay. We're all needed. We're all important. And those that some people would say, we don't need them, they are indispensable. We cannot do what Christ needs to do in the world without them. It says, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. I mentioned this, I think, a couple weeks ago because I'd been out shoveling snow and my fingers were burning and I had to take care of those fingers, right? I couldn't just ignore them and say, eh, whatever, suffer all you want, I don't care. If I did that, my fingers eventually would turn black and they'd fall off, right? I mean, isn't that what happens with frostbite? I'm not really sure. I haven't looked into it. I know it's bad. You know, you have to take care of your digits when it's cold. You know, when one part suffers, every part suffers with it. Your whole body suffers when one part of you, and you guys know this, if you've ever had a part of your body quit working, if you've ever had a part of your body smashed by a hammer, or run over by a car, or something like that, you know, slammed in a door, you know, ooh, yes, every part suffers with that part. What if we really lived that way? That we are the body of Christ and each one of us is a part of it. What if we really believed that and we saw a part of the body suffering? Might not be so quick to say, ooh, let's just not think about that, and to turn our back on them. It's not what I do. I slam my finger in a door, it gets all my attention, right? I mean, if I'm in need, if some part of my body needs attention, it gets it. And there are times when part of the body of Christ needs attention, needs help. Now, that's true at the local level here, like us as a church, right? Somebody in the church, and you guys, generally speaking, are really good at this. If there's somebody in the church that has a need, as soon as you become aware of it, you're like, well, hey, can we help? How can we? Do they need a meal? What do they need? Can we come by? Can we do something for them? And you do a pretty good job of, like, doing that. The difficulty is actually, like, finding out what each other need because it's, you know, we don't necessarily tell everybody about the things that we need, do we? We think we can do it ourselves, and we've grown up in a culture that says, no, that to need help is weakness, and to be weak is, you know, something we don't want. And so, shameful or something. And so we kind of hide our needs from each other. But you guys do a good job when you are aware of a need you move to it. But this is also true kind of more globally, I would say, like the body of Christ around the world, right? And you guys do a good job of this too. When you hear like, oh man, there are Christians in another country that are suffering right now, you put together crisis care kits, or you give to Nazarene Compassionate Ministries, or you find some way to make a difference to people in that part of the world. When you find out that, well, there's a need, we can help, and you move. What would it be like if we believe this is true? We are the body of Christ, and each one of us is a part of it. He says he doesn't want there to be any division in the body, but that we'd have concern, equal concern for each other. He says something similar to the church in Ephesus. This is Ephesians chapter 4. He's writing from prison. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. He says, you've been called to a life that you need to live up to that calling. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Again, he doesn't want us to be divided. He wants us to be united. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. He said, this is what unites us. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And he's saying, look, kind of like he had said to the Corinthians about how God works in all these different ways through you, but you're still one body. He says, look, you're one body, but God's given us grace, each of us, in different ways. So then he gives a short list. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's an interesting image there. We become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, like fully letting Christ live in us, fully representing to the world, here's who Jesus is, the fullness of Christ alive in his body, here and now, mature. He says, then we'll no longer be infants. And then I cut out the part where he really mixes his metaphors bad. He says, we'll no longer be infants tossed about on the waves, blown here and there by every like doctrine or whatever. He's like, all of a sudden he's out at sea. And like, are we throwing infants in the sea? What are we talking about here, Paul? He said, we'll have understanding. We won't just let other people manipulate us, you know, running after the last thing we saw shared on Facebook or something. He said, we'll no longer be infants. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Again, he's saying there at the end, like, we're all needed. We all have to do whatever it is that God's gifted us to do, called us to do, our part in the body. And when one part doesn't do its work, oh man, the body gets off kilter. The body gets sick. The body is injured, you know. When one part's not doing its work, the body can't function at that high capacity we were talking about last week. Remember last week we were talking about being overcomers and how God uses difficulties in our lives to train us, to help us to achieve at a high level, to help us to be mature. I was comparing it to like the Olympic athletes. Have any of you been watching any of that so far? Man, we were just watching last night and this morning some of these downhill skiers doing this crazy, going like 85 miles an hour or something down this hill, and seeing one guy like almost lose control and then regain it, you know, and as he's slaloming down this what looks like a sheet of ice, you know. Crazy stuff that they're able to do. They're able to do this because they've been trained, because they're mature, because each part in their body is doing its work. There is no part of that athlete that isn't fully engaged in that moment, you know. And that's what he's saying we could be as the body of Christ. The grace, to each one of us, grace has been given. God has been so good to us. He's graciously forgiven our sins and changed us from the inside out. He's reshaping the way we think about ourselves and about others, about the world. He's changing the way we relate to the people around us. He's helping us to move from being like angry, self-centered, stingy people to like kind, patient, caring, generous, compassionate people, right? He's changing us from the inside out, and he's building us up. The body of Christ becoming mature so that the fullness of Christ can be seen in us. It's a beautiful thing. Then this has implications, right? Then for how we live, that seems like what Paul does in all of his letters. He goes back and forth between like, well, here's kind of this way to think about it, this theological image, and then here's what that means for the way that we live. So just a few verses later, he's saying, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Since you don't lie to each other, you speak the truth to each other. Now, I think he had just said that earlier in verse 15, speaking the truth in love. So that happens too when we see another part of the body, another member of the body struggling, and we've got some insight that can help. It means we come alongside and maybe have a difficult conversation with them, you know, maybe you have an awkward conversation saying, look, I think the reason you're struggling is because of this. Have you thought about this? And you got to ask some questions about, you know, like some choices they've made perhaps, or you know, some choices they could make that would be different, that would help. So we speak the truth to each other. We don't just lie to each other. We don't just do the little white lie to keep the peace and let things slide. We have a difficult conversation sometimes, challenge each other sometimes, so that we can speak the truth in love and build up the body. So we put off falsehood. We speak truthfully. He says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. But wouldn't that be nice if that's how we lived, right? Wouldn't it be nice if we who are following Jesus would set that kind of a tone in our spheres of influence, in our families, in our workplaces, our schools, our neighborhoods, our social media settings? If people knew us to be someone like, oh, that's someone who, you know what, they speak the truth in love. They don't let anything unwholesome come out of their mouths. They only say things that will help build others up. They're always trying to benefit those who hear them. Can you imagine? I mean, we all agree, I think, right, that that's what the world needs. Like the world needs. We were just talking Wednesday night. You know, we always share things at the beginning of what we're thankful for. And then at the end of our hour together, we share, like, what are we praying for? And somebody this past week, you know, was just praying, like, we just need peace, like, in our world, like, and unity. Like, we need this for each other. Like, our world seems so divided. There's so much trying to pit us against each other, trying to get us to hate each other, trying to get us to treat each other like enemies. Man, let's, like, we need peace. Let's pray for peace. And yes, we agree that's what the world needs. Guess how God's going to bring peace? through you, through us. Living as the body of Christ, loving each other and loving those around us, refusing to be divided and against each other, sometimes having difficult conversations with each other, but doing it gently, respectfully, in love, because we know we're part of one body. So we're kind and compassionate to each other. We forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave us. I want to touch just for a moment back earlier in that passage in Ephesians chapter 4, where he says that Christ gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up, all of this. there's a couple different ways to read that, just so you know. I'm just going to toss it out there in case you hear other people talk about that passage. Some people say, well, yeah, that's some people. There's like five of them they list there, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, or shepherds, or teachers. You know, and there's a longer list in 1 Corinthians 12 that includes some of those, doesn't include others. There's another list in Romans that includes some of that, doesn't include others. You know, so like Paul never gets like definitive with his list. He just like gives examples. And so there's one way to view that, just like, I think these are just five of them that happen to have kind of a leadership role in the church. So to build up the church, to help make sure that the whole church is ready for action, ready to do what God's called us to do, right? And so we listen to apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, so that we can be equipped, so we can be prepared to do what God's called us to do. And so some people get those gifts, just like some people get other gifts, and that's great. There are other folks who look at those five as like, it's almost like a personality test. Like, they'd say that every person in the body of Christ kind of fits in one of those five categories, that any ministry that's done by the church is, maybe it's an apostolic ministry, like these are people that are sent to go do something, to start something new. Some people have more of a prophetic ministry, like has to do with speaking and speaking challenging words, helping people hear what God is trying to say to the situation at hand. Some are evangelists, proclaiming good news and helping people, especially people outside the church, to understand the good news and to become a part of the church. Some are pastors, shepherds, kind of caring for the needs of the flock. Some are teachers, just kind of helping us to understand and making sure that we understand who God is and who we are and all the rest. And they'd say that everybody kind of fits into one of those, kind of has a bent toward one of those things. And I'll be honest, both of those, I could go either way, right? There are two different ways of looking at that. And so if you come across someone that says like, oh, I've got an apostolic ministry, or you're like, or I'm a shepherd or something like that, you might think, oh, maybe they're part of a church that says everybody fits into one of those five categories, right? Or maybe you're in a church that says, nope, some people have those gifts, others have other gifts, and that's great. It's okay. I guess I don't get hung up on it either way. As long as we are all speaking the truth in love, as long as we're all doing whatever it is that God's called us to do, as long as we're finding our role in the body of Christ and all of us doing our part. See, the Spirit of Christ, God's Holy Spirit, inhabits the body of Christ. That's us. So that we can show the love of Christ to the world, so we can continue the work of Christ in the world. This is who we are. We are the body of Christ. He lives in us and through us and continues his work in us today. Probably ought to get through the last one here. Romans chapter 12, he brings it up again. It says, just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God's given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God's given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God's given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God's given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. If you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So whatever it is that God's given you to do, do it. Do it well. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Don't just say you love. Show that love. In whatever way God's given you to do. I felt like this little verse from 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, kind of wrapped that all up well. At least it did for me. It said, no one's ever seen God. Right? God's invisible. Right? I suppose we could say, well, some people saw God in the flesh when Jesus was... Okay, fine. All right. He's saying, no one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. God shows up on the scene as the body of Christ loves well. His love is made complete in us. So next time you see a Christian brother or sister, you know, spouting off on Facebook, and you're like, you're wanting to put them in their place, like, oh, hang on a minute, they're part of the body of Christ, and let's see if we can do that. Let's see if we can speak the truth in love. Let's see if we can be gentle, respectful. Next time you see fellow believer in need, remember, hey, we belong to each other. One part suffers, we all suffer. Let's see how we can come together to help meet that need. Next time part of the body of Christ is celebrated, something good happens, let's celebrate with them. One part's honored, every part rejoices with it, right? We all, when USA wins a gold medal, we all cheer. We all feel like we're on the winning team. Let's live in this world as the body of Christ. Let's allow the love of God to be seen in us. We've got all kinds of people all around us who aren't really sure there's anybody up there. They're not sure anybody cares about them. They're not sure there's a God who behind any of this. They have some serious doubts. They don't think there's any evidence of it. And so they go through this life just trying to make it, you know. And I've talked to enough of you who've told me, man, I would not have made it through this if I didn't know that God was with me, if I didn't sense his spirit guiding me, strengthening me, helping me through. I would not have made it through this, through that, through the other. A whole lot of people out there who don't know that. If we can love each other, if we can love well, God lives in us. His love is made complete in us. If we can live as the mature body of Christ, Christ is seen in us. And people, I think they might be more open to believing there's a God who cares if they see that we care. I think they might be more open to believing there's something to this book we call the Bible, this collection of scriptures, if they see people actually living it out. Let's make sure that we are a people who live as the body of Christ, letting Christ's spirit guide us and shape us, and letting the love and the grace of Christ flow through us in whatever form that takes, continuing the work of Christ together for the sake of the world. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Boy, there's so much more that could be said about this idea that you call us the body of Christ. But God, today we just pray that you'd help us to believe it, that your spirit really does take up residence in us, that you really do give us your grace that shows up in lots of different forms in each one of us. Help us to believe, God, that we really do belong to each other, so that we'll be willing to lift each other up and to care for each other. Thank you, God, for the ways that we see this already at work in our lives, in our life together. Thank you for the ways going forward, your love is going to be made complete in us and seen in us, so that the people around us might have hope, so the people around us might be willing to reach out to you and to find you to be the same gracious, compassionate God that we have found you to be, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. That's how you described yourself to Moses so long ago. Thank you, God, for being gracious and kind to us. Thank you that we get to celebrate this love, this patience, this kindness in this sacrament of Holy Communion. Today, God, we offer to you these gifts of bread and juice, and we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and in his blood. We remember, Jesus, that as you celebrated the Passover with your disciples, celebrating that great move of God, rescuing his people from slavery in Egypt, you reimagined the meal, Jesus. You said, this is about the rescue that God is doing here and now through me. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins. When you eat this, when you drink this, do it in remembrance of me. So that's what we do today, God. As we come to the table of our Lord Jesus, we remember the great love that you've shown us, that you have shown to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, holding nothing back. But out of love for us, Jesus, you gave your life for us. You died on that cross, and you rose again to break the power of sin and death and the devil so that we can be free. Help us to live in that freedom. Help us to give ourselves to you today. All of who we are, offered to you, so that your spirit can change us from the inside out, so that we can live in this world as the body of Christ. Thank you, God, that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just. You forgive us our sins. You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what your word says. And so that we do, God, we come to you humbly acknowledging our need of your grace. We've not always loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, strength. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. Sometimes we have divided ourselves off from the rest of the body of Christ, or we've pushed others out. Forgive us, God, for these and so many other things that we have done. Thank you. Thank you for forgiving us. Help us to receive your grace, your forgiveness today. No longer weighed down by shame or guilt, no longer defined by past failures, but instead living today and tomorrow, living in this world, walking into our future as forgiven people, adopted into your family as your sons and daughters, filled with your Spirit and living in this world as the body of Christ. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to come and lead us in one last song. And Pastor Judy is going to be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and return to your seats. There's the regular little pita bread pieces, or there's some round gluten-free wafers in there, or there's some of the little cups that you can take back to your seat and peel them back to get to the bread and get to the juice. Or some of you maybe grabbed those on the way in. Our hope is that all of us know that we are welcome at Christ's table. All of us who are saying yes to him. So let's give him thanks. Let's celebrate.
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. When I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning. Another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the sea. Should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free? There is a cross that bears the burden. Through it all. So come the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning. Now I know I will never be alone. And I know I will never be alone. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters holding back the sea. And should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy from every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters holding back the sea. And should I ever need reminding how good you've been, count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be.
Amen. Thank you, God, for being with us here today and wherever it is that you send us from here, God. We have confidence that you go before us, that you go beside us, that you go with us, that your Spirit lives in us. Thank you, God. Again, I pray that you would fill us with the Spirit of Christ, full to overflowing, so that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, so full of your grace, your love, your goodness, that we just can't help but share it with the people around us. Thank you, God. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.